All right, everyone, welcome to another episode of O365A. In this episode, we're going to be talking with Evan Kahan, who's a product lead for IX Cloud at Numonyx, based in Boca Raton, Florida. So, Evan, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on. First to start off, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about IX Cloud at Numonyx.
Yeah, sure. So, hi, everyone. Thanks for inviting me on the show. Much appreciated. My name's Evan Kahan. I work for a interaction recording company called Numonyx, and we pretty much spend our days building out capture technology. That's the core focus of the company. And IX Cloud is the company's pivot towards native cloud recording solutions and what that will look like in the future.
Good stuff. Well, the first question I wanted to ask was around business focus. Most partners and companies that specialize in Microsoft Teams or the whole Microsoft ecosystem that has a specific niche, a specific focus. What is that for Numonyx?
So for Numonyx, from the Microsoft ecosystem standpoint, our kind of goal has been to provide mechanisms to capture your voice, your video, your chat, across any voice infrastructure that might be, you know, within Microsoft or connected to Microsoft. So, you know, we started about, it will be coming up on 10 years ago, and it was really back in those link days. You know, how do we go after voice and link when there really isn't a point to, you know, connect or integrate CTI like there are for other voice platforms? And so that's really the niche that we started focusing on. And through there, we've been, you know, providing and upgrading those solutions as, you know, we went from OCS to Link to Skype for Business 2015 to 19, you know, through that little gap of Skype Online in the middle there, and now to Teams. And so making sure that any organization that's kind of invested in that voice side for Microsoft has those compliance recording solutions that they need in order to use a Microsoft voice platform as a telephony tool to do business.
Cool.
Yeah, just kind of going on that same line of questioning. What kind of differentiates IX Cloud again in the market against some of the other competitors that are going through the certification process for compliance recording?
So I think that what we've done with IX Cloud is try to make it as simple as possible to get native cloud recording integrations up and running, right? So if we look at it from how it was in the past, if you were going to, you know, use Skype for Business on-prem, let's say, and you had, you know, paired enterprise pools and you had 20 front-end servers and 10 edge servers and, you know, reverse proxies and the whole nine yards, and now you say you need recording, well, you know, here's five or six recording servers that are paired, and, you know, the infrastructure can grow and it can get really cumbersome, and that makes it hard on the network teams, the desktop teams, the server team, everyone who, you know, who touches, as we know, you know, all of these environments. And one of the things that's great with the way that it works in Teams is that we've taken with IX Cloud and the bot framework that, you know, are leveraging these APIs to get this Teams recording going, we've able to really bring that down to something that for a big enterprise, you know, if you're talking 5, 10, 20,000 seats and up, that's a multi-month project in order to get that implemented, right? And now with Teams and the way that we've implemented the recording, you can essentially enable Teams with PowerShell in less than 5 minutes and just grant policies to users, and off you go. So you just need to make sure from the IX Cloud side of things that you've got enough licenses, to accept the calls from all of those users that you've granted policies to, and off you go. So for us, being able to go to any size customer and almost turn them on in half a day is an absolute game changer for the recording guys, you know, for us, like, who have been used to project planning and management and all of this kind of stuff. So even though it's a complete flip of recording as far as how it works and the technology and how Microsoft's decided to implement these APIs to allow us to get at the media, with all of that and the differences and the recalculations, it's definitely much easier to implement now, and hopefully we'll stay on this track forever. Obviously, we all are aware that Microsoft, moves fast and seems to move faster and faster these days. And, this is a good starting point, because I feel like we got left a little bit behind when it came to Skype Online. And I think that that story has now begun to, you know, to close out and to give people the functionality that they need.
Oh, I totally agree.
Yeah, so I think, Evan, you touched a little bit about it, but I'm looking, I guess, maybe to understand a little bit more about the architecture. So I know that IX Cloud, you probably host some of it in your Azure subscription so that user, you know, enterprises can subscribe to it as well. Is there other different type of architectures that you support so that can I put it in my own Azure infrastructure if I'm required by law to do that? Or is there like a hybrid setup as well? Because maybe I have some traditional PBX stuff on-prem and I'm still using some cloud stuff online. So maybe just talk about the different architectures that are there.
So definitely I've seen that there's two main ways that, you know, two main approaches that people have taken to do this compliance APIs. One is you're going with the server, you know, sitting in Azure. There is a requirement from Microsoft that no matter which way you go, it needs to be hosted in in Azure or on Microsoft infrastructure. So whether you're using app services, cloud services, or you're putting it on a VM, you have to be, you know, in Microsoft. As far as Mnemonics has gone and what we've done with IX Cloud is that it's serverless. So we've taken the approach of cloud services and we offer them in both multi-tenant and dedicated, you know, mechanisms. So if you're a large enough organization where it makes sense to have your own bot running instead of getting up and running in about 10 minutes, it's going to be a few hours because you're deploying an entire bot. But that's really the difference is we just feel that the mechanism to, because with Teams, with this whole digital transformation story, with the movement to cloud, it kind of felt wrong to, you know, deliver this solution and say, hey, by the way, you need a VM, right? And that's kind of what we've moved away with IX Cloud as a whole is that there's no VMs in IX Cloud at all. Right. Everything is some sort of cloud-based mechanism. And yes, it is Azure-based. We partnered with Microsoft for IX Cloud because of the compliance tools and features that they offer that the other, you know, infrastructure providers do not offer. And that's kind of, you know, where we see it. So from our side of it's cloud services, it's using Graph API, it's using the bot framework with advanced media services in order to get all of this, you know, working together. And, you know, it's excitingly just the beginning, right? This is really, there's a lot of nuance in what people were expecting these APIs would be able to do, what they actually can do, and then what these feature requests are starting to look like now that partners and customers are starting to, you know, play around with it. They're starting to record their calls with the bot framework, you know, and we're starting to get that kind of feedback. So, what I would say is that the main point that everyone should take into account with this is that Microsoft designed this for compliance. And so it's aggressively targeted to companies that have extreme compliance requirements. It's not so much for the companies that wanted some sort of embedded recording, but don't have those kinds of requirements. And what you will hear most people talking about when it comes to recording, probably the number one thing that comes up is the announcements that, you know, that these APIs put into the streams in order to let people know that calls are being recorded, right? So Microsoft has addressed these requirements very aggressively. So what do I mean by that? If you have, you know, if you're enabled for a compliance recording and you make a Teams call or receive a Teams call, you're going to get that recording banner similar to actually what we all see right now if you manually start a meeting. The verbiage is a little bit different. So no problem with that, right? We can all, you know, deal with a banner in our Teams clients. Where it becomes a little bit interesting is inbound and outbound PSTN is also getting voice announcements, right? So where that becomes a little bit interesting is, let's say Habib gives me a call on my cell phone and he's, you know, he has a policy for recording. He gives me a call. I see on my cell phone that it's Habib. I know he's called, you know, his caller ID's popped up and I answer the phone and I'm like, hey, Habib, and I don't hear Habib. I hear an announcement saying that this call is going to be recorded and then I hear Habib. So for people who are not governed by extreme compliance, I can use extreme in this case, that can be a little annoying, interesting, however you want to take it. And so, you know, that's why we tell people this is compliance recording. Microsoft's addressing the compliance requirements of voice for, you know, in my mind, it's kind of like the financial vertical in the EU, for example, right? Big restrictions there on what they can and cannot do, to the extent that there are settings in these policies that if the bot is down or if something is wrong, the call breaks on purpose, right? So you do see that requirement sometimes. You can disable that, meaning that you can turn it off and say if the bot's down or something's wrong, still allow the call to go through. But that just shows you the extent into which, you know, Microsoft has wanted to make sure that they adhere to these, you know, policies like MiFID II, GDPR, you know, these kinds of things that are more aggressive than what we currently see in Canada and in the US, right? I think that we all probably agree that it's coming here, but right now we do see the most aggressive policies coming out of, you know, out of the EU, and you can tell that it's been kind of addressed in that way.
Awesome.
Nice. That's a really great background, Evan. It looks like you're in the office, but clearly that would probably be a pretty challenging thing to do in this day and age, especially where you're at.
Yeah, for sure.
But speaking of challenges, like maybe talk a little bit about the most challenging scenarios that you've worked with some of your customers.
So when it comes to Teams, there hasn't been much as far as difficulty goes, right? I mean, again, because it's just a couple of PowerShell commands, if everything's in place, you know, the only thing that's really going to mess you up is, you know, if an Azure region is down, which, you know, that just doesn't happen these days, right? I mean, so those are the little blips. I think that a couple of interesting things that I've come up against as this is, you know, progressed especially the last few months is like, what happens when, you know, you're working with someone who's using media bypass from their direct routing, and then they're using local media optimization on premise, right? How does that work? Another thing is, how does the configuration change if you're running hybrid and your AD is still on prem? This will still actually work, but the PowerShell commands that you execute are, you know, not run where you would normally run them. This is not documented, I think, in anywhere that I've been able to see. So, you know, creating application instances down on-prem using, you know, AD Sync to bring them back on and then syncing them back into Azure. These kinds of, those were some interesting things that came up, which were, you know, kind of unexpected in that way. I actually thought incorrectly in the first few months when these were out that you had to be a team, you know, you had to be moved completely to Teams Online, right? There was not going to be any island set up or anything like that, which was incorrect, right? You could be running in hybrid, and as long as it was Teams, you know, enabled users, and that's what they were using, you just had to do some jumping around with your commands and with AD. But outside of that, thank goodness, it's a lot easier than, you know, having to install trusted plugins on front ends and, you know, manipulate ICE candidates and all of this kind of stuff. Microsoft now, you know, handles all of that for us. I think that maybe the only downside is we have too little control at the moment, right? Like, for example, if a customer wants to turn off the announcement or change the audio in the announcement or, you know, anything like that, that's all blocked from the partners. So the people in the tap in the program that are going to be going through the compliance certification are kind of all in the same boat.
Yeah, maybe as a quick follow-up, we're in a direct routing scenario where you have, say, you're connecting to a current Cisco PBX. You know, does that make it any harder, or you know, where you have an SBC on prem, or are you still completely 100% plugged in at the cloud layer? So now, yeah.
It's definitely plugged in at the cloud layer, so it will support, it doesn't matter where that Teams user is. It doesn't matter if they took the call or made the call from the Teams client on their mobile phone, whether they did it from the Mac client, the Windows client. If that user has been granted a policy, you know, Teams compliance recording policy, then either one, or we can talk about the redundancy option, two bots are following those users everywhere. So, you know, that's a good question. From, you know, the direct routing side, it doesn't affect how the PSTN is delivered to that user. It's kind of extrapolated from that. The considerations that people will take in that regard, you know, talking about, if we could, the redundancy for a second, is that the way that Microsoft has addressed the redundancy portion of this, you know, these recording APIs, is with this concept of paired bots. And what that means is that the configuration in your backend and power, you know, with PowerShell is slightly different, where you're setting up two bots and you're referencing them as a paired application. But what happens then is that two bots follow every user everywhere. So that sounds great. It's redundant from the standpoint that it's, you know, even if the first bot succeeds at coming into a call, it's still going to bring in the second bot, right? So that also sounds good. But where we're dealing with, you know, nuances now is, well, let's say the, quick pop question, what's the current max users in a Teams conference? Does anyone know?
300.
Okay, so if I have 100 users in a conference that are all granted policies and I've enabled redundancy, I've used all 300 of my slots, right, in that meeting. And so this is where the partners will be focusing on, you know, next, is how do you use geography and the same tenancy to maybe group bots together in order to deal with resiliency without consuming all of the seats in a conference. It's these kinds of little nuances that, yes, it's great we've got redundant bots now, but make sure that you don't hit your meeting limit size. So, you know, one of those little things that will continue to improve, you know, as these APIs expand, as the program grows, and, you know, as we see what comes out of the other side of the certification. Because I will tell you, as someone who's been through the Skype certifications and the Link certifications, this is a whole different level, whole different ball game. This will now, from a certification standpoint, include things like, you know, pen testing, complete security certification of your product by Microsoft through the new M365 app certification program, and then do all of your test cases and use cases and all of that. So there is a really serious effort by Microsoft to make sure that if you do come out of the certification process with that stamp, it's not just that you recorded those, you know, 30 or 40 use case scenarios and the bot didn't break. Right, it's much more involved now than it will be. So I do expect that it will take time for even, you know, the first of us to come out the other side of that program. And I think that Microsoft, as well as the partners, will be learning about the program as we go through it. I think it's just too new. It's a new way of doing it. It's a new concept, and you know, it will really be a badge of honor for the guys that come out the other side. You know, it will be something that, you know, you did work hard to achieve, rather than just, you know, your standard, you know, we're certifying on this platform, that platform, etc. So, definitely an interesting, you know, bump in the certification process there.
Yeah, and that's great detail. And that was really my next and final question, was the you know, to talk about the detail around the certification process. I know it's obviously it's new, and it sounds like no one has really come through it at this point. But if there's any other details you can share about that, that would be great.
Yeah, I think that there's a component of registering your app within the 365 infrastructure, right? You need to have been published in that way. It's not just that you could be sitting running it privately. You do have that, extremely enhanced security certification portion of it now. And then the test cases, from what I've reviewed, you know, it's pretty much standard. You know, you used to get into a lot of test cases in regards to, how do you say it? Different scenarios from a Skype client point of view, right? On how you could configure not just your response groups, but your delegation and things like that, that really messed with signaling. Those kind of scenarios are all kind of gone now, or made much easier, because the partners are not responsible for that anymore, right? We're not responsible for messing around, or, you know, thank goodness, we're not responsible for that anymore. I think that we always used to joke about our Skype integration, that it's 10 years earlier, if an engineer and developer had come to us and said, okay, we're going to record this phone system by by almost breaking it, you probably would have been fired, right? I mean, that's no way to build a system, but that's the way, you know, the handful of companies that did record Skype, you know, got to do it. And so Microsoft's kind of taken that whole layer away from us, and that's a good thing. And now we can focus on, you know, the core, the capture, and then, you know, grow from there all of these additional things that, you know, that you can build on top of. From IX Cloud, you know, our focus from the company has always been capture. So, you know, we do capture the audio, the video-based screen sharing, the video calling like we're on now, chat coming soon. And so, you know, being able to capture all of that, and then, you know, we partner with analytics companies, whether it's using cognitive services and things like that in Azure or other companies as well. While we focus on capture, you know, our partners focus on analytics. And so our kind of driving methodology is that without the capture, you've got no analytics. And so that's where we focus, and we make sure that no matter how, when, or where you need to get at your media in order to process it, or, you know, for a compliance regulatory requirement, that we've got you covered. That's really the goal when it comes to IX Cloud. And it's capture for everything. Teams is obviously a very popular integration, for sure. But other things that IX Cloud is doing, like, for example, completely cloud-based SIPREC recording, where no servers are involved anymore, right? This is also built using Service Fabric in Azure. And that's a big move to try and get everyone who's using SBCs, whether it's for direct routing or, you know, integrations between voice platforms, to be able to point a SIPREC session at us and scale it, you know, dynamically outside of the scope of all of the limitations that anyone ever had before. Now, all of a sudden, people can start to look at recording in a whole new way. And that's kind of what we're trying to do, you know, is that you will take all of the complexity of recording away. You point your SBC at an IP address, and you make a couple clicks, and you're up and running and delivering media into whatever, you know, fancy analytics tools or, you know, AI you want to. And that's really where we strive to get to.
Nice. Thank you.
Sure.
Awesome. So, I mean, that was a really great discussion. I think I definitely learned a lot about the compliance side of things, that especially the part where, you know, you can max out all your chances. I didn't even think about or take that into account, you know. Some great ideas.
I also missed it in the beginning. You know, it's funny because it's a bot and it's a hidden bot, right? So even if you make a peer-to-peer call, you're not in a peer-to-peer call anymore, right? You're in a three-person conference with one hidden party. So also something for the guys who are going to be troubleshooting voice calls and things like that out there in the field. Remember, if a user is granted a policy, you're not troubleshooting a peer-to-peer call anymore. So something else to consider when you're chasing things.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, I mean, thanks, Evan, for coming on. We really appreciate you coming on, telling us about Pneumonics IX Cloud and sharing your knowledge with us as well. And thanks, everybody, for listening in. And hopefully we'll catch you on our next episode.
Sounds good. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks.